This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Let's start reading, inshallah, in the book that we have, which is the characteristic of the hypocrites. And Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, did not write a book called Characteristics of Hypocrites. This is a chapter was taken from Madarij al-Salikin and was published by itself. And to be honest, Madarij al-Salikin has so many chapters that it deserved to be a book. And the best of it all, his very, very, very lengthy discussion of the concept of a Tawbah, which is, I don't think it was ever written about a Tawbah as a comprehensive writing like what he did, rahimahullah, in his book, Madarij al-Salikin. But in any case, I thought this is a good start, just a small little treat to lead us, inshallah, to read more of a book that it is written completely by, as a separate book, not as a chapter, as we, inshallah, do next, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the way this goes is somebody read, and inshallah ta'ala, we all listen and follow. If you don't have a book, download the book. If you don't want to download the book and you don't follow the book, you might even better to leave the call, because you're not going to benefit much, because this is not an explanation. This is reading. The whole point that we all read together the book and get into the habit of focusing on reading. And I believe that they have the brother have shared link to the book. Bismillah. And last time we talked about Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, talked about the subject. So let's see what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has to say about this subject. Bismillah. Who's reading? He or she?
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. I can go if nobody else is wanting to go.
Bismillah, who's this?
This is Sara Kasmani.
Sara, hayyakallah, Sara. Yalla, bismillah. Everybody else, mute. And Qala Mu'alif Rahimullah, the author Rahimullah said.
Okay, so I'm going to start from the beginning of what is page 18 for us in the English transaction.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Not 18. Because in 18 he start with all praise and thanks are due to Allah, that's right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not something Ibn al-Qayyim wrote. And that's not an accurate way of publishing a book. He attributed to Ibn al-Qayyim something he didn't say. That's not written in his book. That's not part of the chapter in Madarij al-Salikin. So that's not something, at least he should have put it in between parentheses and said, I added this. Unless he mentioned that in the introduction. I don't remember seeing that. But that's not an honest way of publishing a book, to add your own wording to the author, rahimahullah. Because so many of the people who belong to the, who influenced by Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, and his da'wah, after he published his book about Khutbat al-Hajjah, a lot of people start thinking that Khutbat al-Hajjah is sunnah to be said in every single khutbah jumu'ah, sunnah in every single speech, you know, sunnah in every book that you write, okay? And that's not correct. So putting this into the work of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, as if Ibn al-Qayyim believed the same thing. But the reality is in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to do this khutbah ahyanan in marriages, in Eid or in Jumu'ah. But many times in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he writes, when he speaks sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not say this whole entire khutbah. So we start from him saying, in page 19, hypocrisy is a deep-rooted. So you can say Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said.
Okay. So Ibn al-Qayyim.
Okay, Sarah. Slowly. So and make sure that you stop at where it so the full sentence so people can follow you because you have people reading with you as well.
Okay. Bismillah. Okay, so Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi said, hypocrisy is a deep-rooted and all-pervading spiritual disease. A person's heart could be overflowing with it, yet be oblivious of it due to its hidden and subtle nature. Frequently does it lead a person to think he is acting rightly when in reality he is spreading corruption.
So that's something interesting. He said it is a deep rooted in the heart of the person. Hypocrisy comes from the heart. It's all about the heart. There is one thing for someone that he lied one time when he talks, while someone else, he lies almost every time he talks. Lies because he wants to lie. He feels good about lying. You know, when he disagrees, it's one thing to yell and to be angry at somebody when you disagree with some another level when you plot because there is hate rooted in your heart. You know, that's a sign of hypocrisy. There is one thing that the person, you know, can't make maybe focus or trying to be nice and compliment someone, but someone is completely faking it. Nothing he feels in the heart about it. Completely showing off. And the word deeply rooted, okay, in the heart, that means that the person have to look for it, search for it. And as we know, the most dangerous diseases and the most dangerous sins are the sin and the diseases related to the heart, not to the body. The action of the limbs is these things in the heart. So that's number one, why this is dangerous. Number two, pay attention to what he said to show you how it's a beautiful short statement, but filled, loaded with points. Number two, to show you how important this issue is. Because if hypocrisy goes and deeply rooted in the heart, if you corrupt the heart, corrupt the body, corrupt the mind, corrupt the iman, because that's what iman is, what faith is. Abu Huraira said, the heart is the king of the body. If it's corrupt, everything else will be corrupt. So that's number one. Number two, he said, rahimahullah, he said that it is basically the person who will have this disease he will be filled with it while he's not realizing that he have this disease. And that's so scary. And you're so corrupt from inside and you don't feel it. You don't feel that this is hypocrisy. And that's led the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to be so scared of hypocrisy. Umar radiallahu anhu, and whose can be like Umar? يقول لحذيفة, he said to حذيفة, أسألك بالله هل عدني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منهم? Did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mention me as one of those people who are hypocrites? Umar, worry about that. Ibn Abi Mulaika said, I have seen, I witnessed 30 of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. 30 من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. All of them, they used to fear hypocrisy. That's why the mu'min fear it. While hypocrites and don't fear it. So one of the things that you ever crossed your mind, do I have any sign of hypocrisy? Do I have any form of hypocrisy? Any roots that, you know, or seeds of hypocrisy in my heart? And as we read, we're going to see so many of these signs. So that's number two, why it is so dangerous. That the person, so number one, to corrupt the heart, the most important and essential part of your body, and you, in your whole entire faith base, because it's based on the heart. Number two, you don't feel it, and sometimes you're filled with it. Number three, can anybody think that the person will try to justify? The person will say he will be spread corruption, but think he's doing good. So spreading corruption while he think that, you know, acting rightly. Nasallahu salamat al afia. Yeah. Yani, subhanAllah, and just give you an example of Qali, in Arabic, he said, Yaz'um annahu muslih. He think that he is right, or muslih, not rightly. I don't even think it's acting rightly. In Arabic, he said, muslih. He thinks that he is doing good, rightly. He thinks that he is spreading goodness while he is spreading corruption. That's how would I would maybe translate it. He is basically spreading good and doing good while he is doing what is corrupt and what is bad. Look, sometimes we do that. We put that frame for so many things that we do. You know, some people lie and they said it's for the sake of da'wah. And some people lie or some people will be, you know, for example, so when they disagree with someone, as we know, one of the signs of hypocrisy is when you disagree with someone, you become fajr for khusuma, which it means you cross every line when it comes to the basically the disagreement. There is no limit in how far you can go. And so many times people justify that by saying, I stand for the truth. I want to warn people from this person. And we see today in Dawah people, you know, this is a sign of hypocrisy. While they put this nice, you know, layer on the top of it just to make it sound like they are doing good or doing favor to the ummah. People, nas'Allah al-afiyah, they doing things not for the sake of Allah, helping people not for the sake of Allah, but for the sake of popularity and more followers and more likes and became big, you know, name. We're not here. This is not meant to point finger to people. Don't think about what people doing. Think about yourself. Don't think about anyone else. Because that's one of the signs of hypocrisy, that you all hypocrites always think about others. Oh, that's like this person did that. That person did that. That person did that. No, think about you. One of the signs of hypocrisy, you know, there's so many things like you see today in modern days where people, you know, truly hate the sunnah. They hate it. It's hard for them to follow, to commit to it. So what they do, and that's a sign of hypocrisy. So what they do, they try to reject it. By what? By, oh, there is a difference of opinion about this issue. SubhanAllah, Al-Quran was sunnah meant to solve the disagreement. Not to use the disagreement between the scholars to reject the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, for example, people today use this. They just want to have liberal life. Liberate themselves from the rules of the Sharia. So what they do? They break this. That's a sign of hypocrisy. You want that free lifestyle. Far away, they think Islam limits their fun, their freedom, whatever you want to call it. So what they do, instead of just saying, I don't accept Islam, no. They bring something else to say, I want to, you know, reform Islam. I want to modernize Islam. But inside their hearts, no. It's the hate for the commitment and how religion is so heavy on them. It's so hard for them to commit. It's the impurity of the heart. But they try to act like as if they are rightly muslih, yani reformers and all this kind of talk. And so many examples like this that you see in modern days and all days and all time. And Imam Rahimahullah, he will bring, you know, examples of so many of the Ahlul Bid'ah later on, and how they, yani, what their motive is, the true hypocrisy that they are in, that it's deeply rooted in them. Yes, hold on 1 second, Salah, just 1 second. Yes, bismillah. Go ahead.
It is of two types, major and minor. Major hypocrisy leads to eternal punishment in the lowest depths of hell. It is to outwardly display faith in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, whereas inwardly one is devoid of such belief, indeed disbelieving in it. He does not believe that Allah spoke to a man amongst men who he appointed to be a messenger, guiding them by his permission and warning them of his punishments.
Wait. So he said it's two types, major and minor. I don't, for the top of my head right now, I don't know exactly who started this two categories, major and minor, but definitely it is something that became popular by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and his Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah. But before that, if you look at the early generations, they used the terms nifaq i'tiqadi wa nifaq amali. Nifaq related to belief, and nifaq that has to do with actions, okay? And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah and Ibn Taymiyyah's definition of major and minor, more accurate, because there is some nifaq has to do with the action of the heart, yet it is not a major kufr, not something that take you out of the fold of Islam. While the major nifaq is what take the person out of the fold of Islam. The one who called it i'tiqad wa amal, actions and belief, because the vast majority of the act of hypocrisy or the sign of hypocrisy that's related to actions are minor. And the one related to belief is major. And among these major, the category of major or i'tiqadi, if you look at it, it's mainly belief. And the ulama rahimahullah said they are, as he himself here, he talked about that he doesn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, or any one of the pillars of Iman, the angel, the books. So he doesn't really believe in it inside his heart. He is actually what? Mukadhib lahu. So he basically believed that this is lie. This is not true. He disbelieved in it. And that's why al-ulama rahimahullah said, major hypocrisy. If someone believes that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam lied about this religion totally, yani as a whole, or he believed that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam lied about something in the religion. Yani if someone believed that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam lied in some area, and he made up something in the religion, that's major hypocrisy. Or somebody hates the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or he hates the religion of Islam. See, it's an action of the heart. That's a major hypocrisy. Also, someone loves the enemy of Islam to take over al-Islam, to destroy Islam, to erase al-Islam. That's a major hypocrisy. Someone hates to see Islam prevail, hates to see the Sunnah prevail, hates to see the truth prevail. If somebody like that, that's a major hypocrisy. The ulama rahimahullah said. He might hate something in the religion, but not because it's a religion. He hates it because it is heavy. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهُ لَكُمْ. Al-jihad was prescribed upon you, and you hate it. Not because he hates it because it's part of Islam. No, because it's required from the person to travel, to put his life in risk, to leave his family, you know, and so many things like that. That's why the Sharia rules called takalif. Even in Urdu, it's a takalif. In Arabic, it's called takalif, which it means has a hardship in it. Heavy, not easy. Okay? وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You might hate something, but there is goodness in it. So the hate has not to do with, but if someone hated because I hate, أعوذ بالله, Allah, or I hate al-Islam, or I hate that religion, or I hate the Prophet, that's kufr. That's the major type of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, he didn't define it because obviously he's not writing a book about hypocrisy. It was a chapter. Hypocrisy, it means to show iman and to hide kufr, disbelief. To show you believe and you inside you, there is a disbelief. That's basically what is hypocrisy is, or the definition of hypocrisy. And I don't think nifaq, you know, it's interesting, the word nifaq, like tunnel. You say nafaq, which means tunnel. Why? Because you come from one side and enter from another side. There is two sides for it, or multiple ones. So nifaq is like this. One area, it looks like he's mu'min, mashallah, he's a Muslim, but from the other way, he's out of Islam. He hates Islam. He doesn't belong to this religion. Okay, when something enter to that tunnel, you think it's inside it. So you think Islam is inside the heart, but actually it exited from the other side. You know, he's no Islam inside his heart. He's just showing that, but in reality, he's not. It's like some kind of animals, they call it yarbu' in the Arabia. They call it munafiq. Why? Because he basically, he used to go inside and he think that he's inside and is all, but he's actually out. He never settled there. Islam never settled in their hearts. You know, actors, they used to call them hypocrites before, because you think that they are who they act to be, but in reality they are not. نسأل الله العافية. نسأل الله العافية. Doesn't believe in the books. Go ahead. Continue.
In the Quran, Allah has revealed the mechanization of the hypocrites. He has unveiled their beliefs, their qualities, and made their goals clear so that the believers can be aware of them.
He very divide- well said. So, let me see. I didn't get chance. I don't remember how many times hypocrites were mentioned in the Quran. If somebody can Google that while we're reading, it would be nice. How many times Allah mentioned hypocrites, or how many sign of hypocrisy was mentioned in the Quran? I used to have that piece of information, but somewhere, but I don't recall it right now. But Al Quran filled with talk about hypocrisy. طيب, which surah is filled with talk about hypocrisy? Surah 37 times in the Quran in 29 verses. I bet you anything, it is way more than that. Because sometimes not the word nifaq, but the description of the hypocrites also. But anyway, that's very, very large number too. And basically because of the dangers of hypocrites. And you see Surah Al-Baqarah from the beginning of the Quran, you're exposed to them. Al-Kuffar were mentioned very few, like one verse. And after that, the surah starts talking details about hypocrites. But, so if you want to know about hypocrisy, the best book to read is the Quran, actually. Go ahead, continue.
He divided mankind into three groups in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah: the believer, the disbeliever, and the hypocrite. He mentioned four verses concerning the believers, two verses concerning the disbelievers, and 13 verses concerning the hypocrites, due to their plenitude and the great harm and tribulation they bring to Islam and the Muslims. The harm they cause to Islam is truly severe, for they claim to be Muslims. They claim to aid and support Islam, whereas in reality, they are its enemies, seeking to destroy it from within, covertly spreading their corruption and ignorance in such that the unwary thinks that what they are upon is knowledge and right action.
Yes. طبعاً, he's talking mainly here about the major hypocrisy, which is the person who's not a Muslim. By the way, Al-Quran, anytime hypocrites were mentioned in the Quran, it referred to major hypocrisy. ما ذكر النفاق في القرآن النفاق when it mentioned the Quran it referred to the major one not to the minor one but from this major one there is sign there is character traits there is things that we can methods there is actions they do things that they do that you should be aware not to copy them not to fall into that trap, not to follow their footsteps. Why? Because minor hypocrisy can lead to major hypocrisy, can strip the person Islam in the end. And I can think of several examples, okay, like that, where people basically started with this kind of small things here and there, and they ended up leaving Islam completely. And one of the signs of hypocrisy is this arrogance and, you know, never admit mistakes and see themselves better than others, higher than others. And that led people, historically speaking, to end up leaving Islam. Anyway, there is like example going to come down on the road. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also divided the people into three categories in many different places. But one of them in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. So he punished the hypocrites and the disbelievers, and he will repent and accept the repentance of the believers. And he started with the hypocrites before the disbelievers. Why? Because of the severity of their crime, because how dangerous they are, how important for you to be aware of the sign of hypocrisy, how important for you to know about this disease, and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates them. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates something, He doesn't hate something because of it. Yani, he doesn't hate because the way he look like, he's tall, or his skin color, or her hairstyle, or her face look, no, or his race, no. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone or hates someone, it has to do with the actions of that person and the quality of that person. So be careful of these signs of hypocrisy, because they are hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No.
By Allah, how many strongholds of Islam have they destroyed? How many fortresses have they rendered to ruin? How many signposts of Islam have they effaced? How many raised flags have they lowered? And how many seeds of doubt have they attempted to sow in order to uproot the religion? Islam and the Muslims have always faced trial and tribulation from them. Wave after wave of doubts do they assault at it, all the while thinking that they are doing right. Ala innahum humul mufsidun walakin la yash'urun. No, indeed, they are the corruptors, but they are not aware of it. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون. They desire to extinguish Allah's light with their mouths, but Allah will perfect His light through the disbelievers' hate of it. Though the disbelievers hate it. Having agreed
one
to...
One of the mashayikh once said something very nice comment on this verse. He said, so many people in modern days, they put so much focus on the first part of the verse, not the end of the verse. So many people think about the plotting of the hypocrites, the disbeliever, the war in Islam, the war against Muslim, against the Sunnah, and all this. They will basically extinguish Allah's light. But they forget the end of it, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah will perfect His light. That gives that tuma'nina, that tranquility, that peace to the heart. Mm-hmm.
Having agreed to abandon the revelation and follow a course other than the one directed by it, فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ.
So one of the signs of the hypocrites, okay, that they spread corruptions on earth. So anyone who makes any kind of, that sign of hypocrisy, spreading corruption. And the word corruption starts with corrupting the belief. raising doubts about the belief, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or about the deen, about the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, corrupting the right belief in Allah's names and attributes, corrupting the right belief in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by saying, for example, that he shahid, hadir, nadir, or that he is not the last messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not fulfill the message completely. Any corrupt belief has to do with the angels or the prophets and messenger before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any corruption into the religion, which is bid'ah, that's spreading corruption. Then corruptions when it comes to manners and morality. Anyone claim to be Muslim, but subhanAllah, I don't understand how can somebody call on some Muslim while they are contributing day and night to spreading corrupting the youth. First time I came to United States of America, I moved to America in 1997. End of 1997. And something happened that year. I never thought in my life that I will see. So I was in a place, okay, as a guest, just to stay a couple of days, or a couple of weeks actually, ended up staying. And I saw, at this time, I never met Muslims in the West before. I don't even speak English at that time. So I saw this group of people. I was told that it's a mashallah, very big center, and it has a dorm. It used to be like a seminary, a college actually. And those group Muslims bought it. So they do a lot of like activity and host people. So anyway, to make the story short, people coming from out of states, boys and girls, high schooler, and mashallah, the sheikh with them like have a longer beard than mine and beautiful faces. And mashallah, you know, I can understand the hijab and stuff like that. It's not the best. But this guy organizing for them, they play volleyball. And it's not even like sisters with each other. It's like, no. Sister with brothers in the same team. Sisters against their brothers. It's like volleyball. You can think of how this inappropriate this is. Then I see them. It's a big, huge area. People walk, a boy and a girl, and a boy and a girl. Like in random fashion. You know, I'm observing this for the last, for over a day and a half. They go to hiking and stuff like that. And I said to myself, it's logically impossible that all these couples are brothers and sisters or married couples. Like, it's just the number is just overwhelming. Like, it doesn't make any sense. What's going on here? So I asked the guy who came with them. And he said, yeah, these friends. He said, but these are like very young in age. He said, yeah, you're new here. And everybody pulled that card, you know, the card of like, I know better than you. You're just, you know, new. Then I said, okay. I mean, being new has to do with certain things, but not everything. And I said, new, not new, but Yani, aren't you worried that this can lead to something not halal? He said, we purposely bring them so they like each other, so they start dating each other. Because if you live long enough, you will know that our sisters start, our girls dating John and Max, and would like them to marry them. And our boys, same thing. So we want them to get to know each other, kind of. I said, Habibi, I would prefer her to date John and Max than to date Ahmed and Abdullah, because she's going to corrupt, or he's going to corrupt Huda and Noura, instead of, you know, dating whatever. So that's corrupting two Muslims instead of one. And he thinks that he's doing good. That's nifaq, astaghfirullah. That you don't see the haram anymore. And you justify it this way. That's corrupting. That's spreading corruption. That's no good in that. In the name of religion. You know, spreading, forget about religious people, non-religious people, those who call themselves Muslims, singers and dancers. You know, when you read about a belly dancer in Egypt, she goes to Hajj and Umrah and she comes back, then she dances one day for the sake of Allah, free of charge. That's just hypocrisy. Goes on social media and brag about it. When you see someone who says, a sheikh who says, and a person from Al-Azhar said that, or whatever any institute he has, maybe not from Al-Azhar, saying that, you know, the belly dancer, the one who like almost naked dancing in front of men, if she die while she's going to work, she's shahida. That's corruption. Corrupting the youth and bringing all these, you know, tools of corruption to their city, to their, to the heart and to the heart of the Muslim world. That's spreading corruption on earth. That's a sign of hypocrisy. And justifying this, it's a hypocrisy. Spreading the news of corruption, it's a sign of hypocrisy. To spreading the news of corruption, to justify corruption, to make people have no sensitivity toward corruption. Be careful what I mean by what I said. يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الناس. So people don't feel anymore like, you know, this is a big deal. Also, those who always argue against the haq, against the truth, against the sunnah, argue with empty argument. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله. Another sign of hypocrisy. See from yourself, every time the dalil comes, just bring any nonsense. What if? It's no submission in the heart. That's a sign of hypocrisy. Also, the haq, the truth. Yani, one of the most common way I see from Ahlul Bidah, which is, I remember all the time this verse. It's just big mouth. بأفواههم. They want to extinguish the light with their mouth. You cannot actually do that at all. You can't do that. Light is one thing you cannot cover unless you cover the whole entire horizon, so the light will not come. So like in a room, you put a whole entire curtain so you cover the light. Or you close your eyes. That's when you don't see the light. But kida would talk. We're in the middle of the day and I'm outside in the street and the sun on the top and he's telling me, oh, this is. You know, this is basically wrong and there is no sun, it's dark. No. Anyway, so going back to the point, like a lot of people like give this like examples. Oh, there's this guy. Who's this guy is? Who's this girl is? Nobody knows. Did this and did this and did this and did that. So all these, you know, religious people are hypocrites. This person who always say that, and there's no person. It's a made up. It just talk. no reality for it. Like, for example, one day when somebody was telling me, oh, you people who have athari aqeedah, always make takfir for people. Give me, who among us make it takfir for people? Show me. You just made up things. Everything bid'ah. Give me someone said everything bid'ah. Oh, air condition is bid'ah and stuff like that. And glasses is bid'ah. Show me. Where is the ulama of al-sunnah who said that? That's in philosophy, they call the straw man. And I just to make a figure and go destroy it, and you look like a hero. That's the style of hypocrisy that exists today. Yeah, I know hijabi, who's this or that. So that's a common way of destroying the haq, or and simple-minded people, oh, I didn't know about this. Anyway, I just want to make a comment. Don't use the word murtad and kafir. Don't use this word loosely. This is a very big word. And murtad, it means you take the person out of Islam. And that's not up to you to do that. That's up to the judge to call someone murtad. Or to the muftis, or to the imams. But that's not a word that it is good to be used by us as students of knowledge. طيب, go ahead. فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ
But they disagreed and split up, dividing into sects, each party exulting in what it had.
No, the sentence before it, sorry, we missed that.
Okay. Having agreed to abandon the revelation and follow a course other than the one directed by it.
So that's one important sign of hypocrisy. If one of you guys can have a pen or something, can write or see how many signs he's mentioning. So that's very clear sign that they abandon the revelation and they follow what? Their shuyukh, their imams, their tariqah, their madhab, their whatever. And they completely abandon the revelation to the extent, if this is not hypocrisy, I don't know what's hypocrisy. When someone say any verse in the Quran that goes against what our sheikh said, it's rejected. Either it is abrogated or it is mu'awwala, and it has a different understanding than it what looks like. If it's not a sign of hypocrisy that you leave Al Quran and Sunnah to follow the Greek philosophers' way of understanding theology, I don't know what can be a sign of hypocrisy more than that. Or not only that, and you leave the Quran and Sunnah in spirituality. And you follow the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Christians' way of spirituality and soul search and purification. If it's not hypocrisy, you leave the rules and the guides of Sharia to rule yourself and your people with other than the rulings of the Sharia. All this shows sign of hypocrisy. There is something in the heart not right. Now.
فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ But they disagreed and split up, dividing into sects, each party exulting in what it had.
In what it had. Farihun, so proud, so excited, so arrogant of what they have. Even though what they have, and they contradict each other. And they split into many different groups. Each one of them said, we are the true, we're the haqq. And everybody said, I'm the right way of understanding. Now.
يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. Who inspire each other with delusions by means of spacious words. Spacious words?
Yeah, suspicious words. And subhanAllah, I don't like, I'm very picky. زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. Delusions by means of suspicious words. Deceiving words. Big words. You see, intellect, freedom, equality, you know. Reforming, revivaling. These words, big words, but can be often used to mislead people. Now.
And because of this, it اتخذوا هذا القرآن محجوز محجورا. They took this Quran as something to be ignored.
Why? Because they have what they came up with, thinking that it is exalted thing, intellectual, smart, more clear, better, you know, more modern, more relevant, you know, for whatever they came up with, and comfortable, fitting the society and the time that we're living in. So what happened? Al-Quran will be ignored. And the Sunnah will be ignored. It is sad that there is a student of knowledge. They know all the opinions and so, and they never knew what's the proof behind the opinion. When Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, one of my friends, memorized a matan, a text in fiqh. And his Sheikh told Sheikh Ibn Baz, I memorized this text of fiqh. It's Hanbali fiqh. It's a beautiful text, beautiful. Then the Sheikh said, MashaAllah, very good, excellent. But did you memorize before that Al-Quran? He said, yes, Sheikh. Then he said, did you memorize Bulugh al-Maram or Umdat al-Ahkam, a collection of Ahadith? He said, no. He said, it would have been better if you start with the Quran and the Hadith, then you memorize the Kalam al-Fuqaha, the words of the Fuqaha. Because these texts of fiqh based on this. Is that, look, see, it's so important for you to understand that these signs are levels. From here all the way there. Look, sometimes when people, you bring an issue in fiqh, their heart, their mind looking for what this madhab said, what this madhab said, which is fine, absolutely fine. But in my opinion, it is something wrong in the heart. If your heart is not looking forward for what is the dalil that this issue was based on, what's the evidence? What's the reasoning? How did they come to this conclusion? There is people even skip the ayah, skip the hadith, just to look at what the opinions are. The Quran and the Sunnah does not have that heavy weight on their in their heart and their mind, the same way the weight of that's the Hanafi, it's the Shafi'i, it's the Hanbali, it's the Maliki. That's Ibn Taymiyyah's opinion. That's Abu al-Hasan Ash'ari. That's Imam al-Juwayni. That's al-Ghazali. Oh, khalas. Doesn't matter. I'm not saying these are not good to know that, but I'm saying about this very fine point, which is when you feel in your heart that this is the Quran and Sunnah does not have the upper hand, the higher level in your heart, the highest respect, the highest submission. Yes.
The characteristics of...
I think we stop here, sorry.
Okay.
Because that's a long paragraph. Today is an exception to that, too much comment. But next time we'll make sure that we go much faster, inshallah. We'll stop here, and next week, inshallah, we'll continue reading. بإذن الله تعالى.